Welcome back to Let Me Read to You, a series of the Feel More podcast. Today, I'll be reading a passage from the book Rest is Resistance, a Manifesto by Tricia Hersey, and I'll be reading from the introduction, pages 14 through 30 of that work. Tenet 1, rest is a form of resistance because it disrupts and pushes back against capitalism and white supremacy. The first tenet became a soft bell in my ear. It became my secret battle cry as I took to my bed or my couch to deepen my connection with my ancestors, to rest for them, to save my own life. Each time I arose from a rest moment, things felt different. I looked different. My thinking was different. Things that I couldn't work out while awake made sense after a nap. I had a dream that included my grandmother Aura holding my hand and walking through a field of grass, the sun shining bright on our faces. We didn't walk for long, and suddenly she was gesturing for me to make the field my bed. And as I released her hand, I slowly laid in the grass, and she laid right next to me. We were laying face to face, staring at each other intently. She was tracing my entire face with her eyes, and I was doing the same. The feeling of awe and wonder filled me, and I felt so safe, warm, and protected. I woke up from the dream with the widest smile. I didn't want it to end. The systems have manipulated and socialized us so that we stay exhausted. We can remain stuck in a never-ending cycle of trauma. If we are not tapped into the truth of our divinity, there is a possibility of continued brainwashing. I have been asked thousands of times, how do I rest and work so I can make a living? Or, I would love to rest more, but I have bills. How is it even possible? I've been presented with the desperate question by so many exhausted people, and it speaks to the crisis we are in as a culture. Capitalism was created on plantations. The roots of it are violence and theft. We as a culture gloss over this historical truth, but to dive into the cracks of this reality is where a profound part of your deprogramming from grind culture resides. To understand and meditate on this truth may place us all in a space of grief. We must grieve. Rest supports our grieving by allowing space, and with space, we can begin healing from the trauma of grind culture. Grieving is a sacred act and one of the ways we can begin to reconnect with our bodies as we craft a rest practice. Capitalism has cornered us in such a way that we only can comprehend two options. One, work at a machine level from a disconnected and exhausted place. Or two, make space for rest and space to connect with our highest selves while fearing how we will eat and live. This rigid binary combined with the violent reality of poverty keeps us in a place of sleep deprivation and a constant hustling to survive. The work of liberation from these lies resides in our deprogramming and tapping into the power of rest and in our ability to be flexible and subversive. There are more than two options. The possibilities are infinite. Although living under a capitalist system is to be confronted with a model of scarcity, this space makes you falsely believe there is not enough of everything, not enough money, not enough care, not enough love, not enough attention, not enough peace, not enough connection, not enough time. There is abundance. The desperate and valid question of how can I rest if I have bills to pay is the beating heart of this work. It is evidence of the trauma endured by the hands of grind culture and evidence of our need to reimagine rest. Resting as a form of resistance will be part of a lifelong unraveling, a mind shift, a slow and consistent practice filled with grace. We must imagine a new way, and rest is the foundation for this invention. We should use every tool we have to constantly repair what grind culture has done to us. We will be disrupting and pushing back against grind culture for a lifetime. This fact should give us hope for the possibilities of a new future. Be inspired and hold the vision of rest close. We must collectively push back against any system that continues to disregard our divinity. To be colonized is to accept and buy into the lie of our worth being connected to how much we get done. Keep repeating to yourself, "I am enough now." There is no way around this. We have all participated willingly and unwillingly in the allure of grind culture. We have done this because since birth, we slowly are indoctrinated into the cult of urgency and disconnection via white supremacy culture. All of culture is working in collaboration for us not to rest. And when we do listen to our bodies and take rest, many feel extreme guilt and shame. Embrace knowing that you have been manipulated and scammed by a violent system as a powerful evidence. Now with this knowledge, you can grieve, repair, rest, and heal. We can rejoice for the beauty of a veil being removed. This is the beginning of the new world we can create, so stay here in rest. Even for a few minutes each day before leaping into the comfort of intellectualizing this rest work. Resting is an embodied practice and a lifelong unraveling. It is not something that can be trendy, quick, or shallow. Resting is ancient, slow, and connected work that will take hold of you in ways that may be surprising. Let deprogramming from grind culture surprise you. Let your entire being slowly begin to shift. Get lost in rest. Pull up the blankets, search for softness, and be open to the ways rest will surprise and calm you. I could tell 10,000 stories about moments when I have been filled with exhaustion. So many moments of watching my parents exhausted. My grandparents exhausted. 10,000 stories and examples of moments where my body was pushed to the brink of true damage and true disconnection. I could share with you these tender, quiet moments of me unaware if I could go on because my body and mind were so weary, tired, and pushed to the brink of pure exhaustion. I feel like a legacy of exhaustion resides somewhere in all of us, but specifically resides in the bodies of those who have melanated skin. To those who are descendants of plantation labor and those marginalized, this exhaustion is deep. Sleep deprivation is a public health issue and a spiritual issue. It is a spiritual issue for a few reasons. We have been trained to believe that everything we accomplish is because our own pushing alone. This is false because there is a spiritual dimension that exists in all things and in everything we do. To understand that we are spiritual beings navigating life in a material world opens us to the possibilities of rest as a spiritual practice. Our entire living is a spiritual practice. Much of our resistance to rest, sleep, and slowing down is an ego problem. You believe you can and must do it all because of our obsession with individualism and our disconnection to spirituality. Nothing we accomplish in life is totally free of the influence of spirit and community. We do nothing alone. I am clearly stating that to center rest, naps, sleep, slowing down, and leisure in a capitalist, white supremacist, ableist, patriarchal world is to live as an outlier. a pilgrimage infused with softness, intentionality, and community care. We will not be able to interrupt the machine of grind culture alone. We need each other in more ways than we are allowed to believe. This work is about radical community care. Tenet 2, our bodies are a site of liberation. For us to be more human, returning to our natural state before the lies, terror, and trauma of this system. To be who we were before the terror of white supremacy, capitalism, and patriarchy is the power of resting. To no longer be ravaged by this culture's incessant need to keep going, no matter what, to produce at all cost. This is why we rest. Grieving the reality of being manipulated to believe we are not enough, divine, or valuable outside of our accomplishments and bank account is a central part of our rest work. It is sad and disturbing. I only started to confront and acknowledge the grief present in me and so many others in 2015, when the foundation for the NAP ministry really began to take shape. I understand that many reading this book have never sat with the grief and pain associated with attaching your worth to productivity and money. This fact alone is enough reason to rest. But you cannot simply just tell someone who has been traumatized by capitalism since birth to consistently lay down and rest without addressing the reality of our brainwashing. When we finally wake up to the truth of what a machine-level pace of labor has done to our physical bodies, our self-esteem, and our spirit, the unraveling begins. I have counseled people who have an extreme desire to slow down and rest. I've witnessed the subtle and bold ways grind culture has swallowed us whole. Being a parent has opened my eyes up to the ways grind culture successfully begins its socialization of fear and urgency. Even before my son was born, the medical industry was rushing him out of my womb. During my pregnancy, the doctor was obsessed with how large my son might possibly be. In my 8th month, their concerns sent me to a specialist to receive an intensive ultrasound to rule out twins. I already knew I wasn't having twins and correctly predicted his gender. I knew he might be a larger baby because I am 6 feet tall and my entire family, including both parents, were over 6 feet tall. All the women in my family had larger babies. I shared this history with my doctor, but like many in the medical system, she didn't listen. On my last appointment, 4 days before his due date, she signaled that I would have to have a C-section because she was unsure I could deliver such a large baby. She also shared that the last larger baby she delivered had complications that she was now fighting in court because a lawsuit was filed. In her words, "Let's just get him out now." I was mortified and pleaded with her to let me try in labor. I told her that he would not be the 9 or 10 pounds like the scan showed. I responded with a deep confidence, "He will be 8 pounds. I know this in my spirit." In a rushed and urgent tone, she said no, and I would be delivering that evening via C-section. I was crushed and went home crying as I prepared to make my way to the hospital to give birth. Once there, I had a successful C-section, and when they put him on the scale, he weighed 8 pounds and 0 ounces, exactly as I had predicted. The doctor was shocked and kept repeating, "You knew." What struck me about this experience is the deep ways in which capitalism has given full power to control and drive my son's entrance into the world. Grind culture has taken over every facet of our lives. The real fear of what could happen if we step into the unknown is crafted by capitalism and its cult of busyness and productivity. We are wrapped up in the web that feels inescapable and hopeless. Will you trust me and trust your divinity enough to believe it is indeed not hopeless? Can you trust even for a second that we can reside in a rested future? I ask for us to walk this road slowly together, lay down together, and collectively care for each other in a way that makes rest possible. Fear, which is a function of grind culture, was able to drive the doctor's thinking, leaving my intuition ignored and the pain and disappointment of an unnecessary cesarean section. The doctor wanted my son out immediately so that she could move on to her next patient without a lawsuit and the extended time of allowing the labor process to begin naturally. Later, my son left the comfort of our slow-paced home into the public school system, and I began to watch slowly how his voice, connection to his body, and intuition were attacked. In elementary school, students were being trained to be workers who can follow orders, memorize facts, and be on time no matter what. Imagination and critical thinking skills were replaced with cookie-cutter learning and standardized testing. I would volunteer in my son's third grade classroom weekly and notice the young children being told, "Hold your pee. Bathroom break isn't for another 20 minutes." I watched in horror as an 8-year-old squirmed, attempting to wait the 20 minutes until he could allow his body to relieve itself. The teacher, obviously overwhelmed with the large classroom, continued to ignore his cues, and he eventually used the bathroom on himself. I helped to take him to the bathroom to clean up and walked him to the office so his parents could be called to bring a change of clothes. This blatant disregard for his body and the unnecessary embarrassment he and other students suffer in public school systems begin the process of learning to ignore the needs of your body. The brainwashing starts. The removal of physical education, recess, and nap time from public schools is more evidence of a culture unconcerned with space, connection, and slowing down. This ongoing socialization and manipulation by the systems then become internalized, and we become the agents of grind culture. Many people believe grind culture is this pie-in-the-sky monster directing our every move, when in reality, we become grind culture. We are grind culture. Grind culture is our everyday behaviors, expectations, and engagements with each other and the world around us. We have been socialized, manipulated, and indoctrinated by everything in culture to believe the lies of grind culture. In order for a capitalist system to thrive, our false beliefs in productivity and labor must remain. We have internalized its teachings and become zombie-like in spirit and exhausted in body. So we push ourselves and each other under the guise of being hyper-productive and efficient. From a very young age, we begin the slow process of disconnecting from our body's need to rest and are praised when we work ourselves to exhaustion. We tell our children to stop being lazy when they aren't participating in work culture with the same intensity as us. We lose empathy for ourselves first and push excessively. We become managers, teachers, and leaders who fall prey to the allure of a capitalist system and treat those we have the honor of working with as human machines. We become rigid and impatient when our checklist isn't completed to perfection. We become less human and less secure. We believe we are only meant to survive and not thrive. We see care as unnecessary and unimportant. We believe we don't really have to rest. We falsely believe hard work guarantees success in a capitalist system. I have been told this constantly for as long as I can remember. On nights when I worked 2 jobs, still unable to pay my bills on time or save, I continued to tell myself, burn the midnight oil, keep working hard, go to college, find a 3rd job and a side hustle. I clearly remember the moment it clicked for me, how a capitalist, patriarchal, ableist, and anti-black system could never make space for the success I wanted for myself. The success grind culture props up centers constant labor, material wealth, and overworking as a badge of honor. Resting is about the beginning process of undoing trauma so that we can thrive and evolve back to our natural state, a state of ease and rest. We are meant to survive and ultimately thrive because we are divine. All of culture is in collaboration for us not to rest. This includes K-12 public education, higher education, faith and religious denominations, medical industry, and not-for-profits, activist organizations, corporations. Even those who claim to be part of the wellness industry are pushing hustling, grinding, capitalism, girl boss, competition, and co-opting the work of indigenous practices for clout and money. I believe academia is the headquarters for grind culture, and it is a full circle moment that the energy and idea of the NAP ministry came to me while I was suffering from exhaustion in a graduate school program. Our everyday behaviors and false beliefs about productivity drive us into behaving in a robotic, machine-like way. The way we hold ourselves and others to the lie of urgency is white supremacy culture, and we will never be able to rest or be liberated from oppression while we are honoring and aligning with it. Liberation and oppression cannot occupy the same space. It is not possible. We must go slow and place intention at the forefront of this disruption. This work is not simply a reminder to rest, but a full interruption and turning toward a rested future. This is political work that is unafraid to step into the light of our dark, shared history that is recreating itself through our individualistic and disconnected delusion of what is really happening to us when we don't rest deeply. Our liberation is deeply connected to the portal of healing we can tap into when we rest. Wherever our bodies are, we can find rest, ease, and liberation. Part of our decolonizing resides in deprogramming from our brainwashing about rest as our divine right. We are divine. Our bodies are divine and a site of liberation. Wherever our bodies are, we can find, snatch, and center rest. Tenet 3, NAPs provide a portal to imagine, invent, and heal. This work is a battle cry for being sick and tired of capitalism and white supremacy, a resting place, an alternative and temporary space of joy and freedom. The way both systems view human bodies is evil and unsustainable. No one is being seen clearly within them and instead is viewed as less than human and a machine to be used, abused, and overlooked. This is a meditation on rest as resistance. This is a meditation on rest as reparations. This is a reverberation for my ancestors. May my deeds in this life please them. May the bass of drums shake liberation from trees. May you join us as we rest. The NAP ministry is for resistance and for the softening. The rest is resistance message is for us to hold in our hands, hug while we sleep, and lay down as we think about all the ways our bodies can hold space for liberation. Resting our bodies and minds is a form of reverence. When we honor our bodies via rest, we are connecting to the deepest parts of ourselves. We are freedom making. What stories are we holding deep inside that are untold and uncovered because we are too exhausted? This rest work is holding space for our memories, our micro histories, and all the things that make us human. The idea of rest as resistance and rest as reparations can be challenging to distill in a few lines when I'm asked to do a quick take. It's counterintuitive to believe rest to be not a place to waste time, but instead a generative place of freedom and resistance. We have never learned this in our culture. The thought of not doing, even for a short time, is seen as lazy and unproductive. So an explanation for rest as a form of justice is layered and nuanced. I have learned that one of the most concise and true ways to share the message of rest is to say, rest makes us more human. It brings us back to our humanness. To be more human, to be connected to who and what we truly are, is at the heart of our rest movement. Since the beginning of developing the nap ministry, I have repeated, this is about more than naps, over and over again. I've done this because I realize that it is so easy for us as a culture to attempt to engage with this work from a quick surface level. Social media makes it so seductive to quickly scroll and feel a high from the media presented. It allows for an engagement that lacks depth, slow study, and embodiment. The memes on our page, or what I like to call propaganda messages, are one of the many tools I use to lay a foundation for us to deprogram from grind culture. But there is always an incomplete understanding when you are engaging on social media, because it has been created to be an extension of capitalism. The designers of the platforms want us there all day, scrolling, spending money, and absorbing messages in a fast-paced, disconnected manner. To truly grasp the heart of the messages, we will have to put down our phones and laptops and rest. We will have to take an intense look at the ways in which grind culture has traumatized us, and then begin the lifelong process of healing from this trauma. This work is about more than simply naps and sleep. It is a full unraveling from the grips of our toxic understanding of our self-worth as divine human beings. Grieving in this culture is not done and is seen as a waste of time, because grieving is a powerful place of reverence and liberation. A grieving person is a healed person. Can you guess why our culture does not want a healed person in it? You are worthy of rest. We don't have to earn rest. Rest is not a luxury, a privilege, or a bonus we must wait for once we are burned out. I hear so many repeat the myth of rest being a privilege, and I understand this concept and still deeply disagree with it. Rest is not a privilege because our bodies are still our own, no matter what the current systems teach us. The more we think of rest as a luxury, the more we buy into the systematic lies of grind culture. Our bodies and spirits do not belong to capitalism, no matter how it is theorized and presented. Our divinity secures this, and it is our right to claim this boldly. I am not grinding, ever. I trust the Creator and my ancestors to always make space for my gifts and talents without needing to work myself into exhaustion. When we can begin to tap into the deep vessel of who we truly are, so many things would end about oppression. I believe the powers that be don't want us rested, because they know that if we rest enough, we are going to figure out what is really happening and overturn the entire system. Exhaustion keeps us numb, keeps us zombie-like, and keeps us on their clock. Overworking and the trauma of burnout continues to degrade our divinity. Once we know and remember we are divine, we will not participate and allow anything in our hearts and minds that is not loving and caring. We would treat ourselves and each other like the tender and powerful beings we are. When I say sleep helps you wake up, it helps you wake up to the truth of who and what you are. And the system doesn't want that. It would crumple under the weight of this power. Things I know for sure that continue to keep me focused on resting. It's my body, my cells, my skin, my heart, my breath. Therefore, I will lovingly center it as the site of my deepest freedom and care. I don't belong to the systems. They cannot have me. I will never donate my body to a system that views it only as a tool for its production. I need you to begin slowly to feel this and to declare that the systems can't have you. It will take deep work, but it's imaginative and beautiful work that will be a lifelong process. I am grateful we have a lifetime, and our healing needs to not be rushed and urgent. We have a lifetime. We can go slow. We can go deep. We can go into the cracks. Get up today and tomorrow and think to yourself, when and where can I find moments of rest? Can you plot and plan for 10 minutes at your desk, 30 minutes of weekend napping, or 1 minute of resting your eyes? Keep pondering and making space for the time to detox from technology. Listen. What day will you be able to remove one app from your phone in an effort to retain expansiveness for yourself? How will you be able to one day say no to a request that doesn't serve you? To build firm yet caring boundaries that teach us all the meaning of community care. All these things are a form of rest.
Just the introduction alone in this book shines such a bright light on all of the ways that we have consciously and unconsciously, mostly unconscious because it is due to conditioning and being socialized to view rest as a waste of time, to see sleep and rest as something that really isn't that important in comparison to being busy, in comparison to doing, in a comparison to achieving. And what we are actually doing, you know, and in most ways unknowingly, is naysaying our healing, naysaying the restoration of our nervous systems, of our bodies, of our spirits. I made this Facebook post years ago, and I remember I was just saying that I thought it was so weird that people truly walked around stating, you know, sleep is the cousin of death, or, you know, sleep is for the lazy, or I'm out here hustling, I don't get no sleep. And I just used to always be like, honey, I will be getting my sleep. Like, y'all sound weird as fuck to me. I don't even understand why you would. Like, why would it be cool to not sleep? That sounds dumb as fuck. And so, you know, I still carry that with me today because, you know, even though we have books like this that are coming out and calling us out and calling us forth lovingly, of course, about the ways that we have been moving unconsciously in our lives, deeply in our conditioning. And even though there is more, you know, there are pockets on social media that are also talking more about, you know, just the ways that we have been naysaying one of the biggest cornerstones of our health, which is our rest and our sleep. People are still walking around with these very weird, like culturally dated, I think, views of sleep, of laziness, of glorifying hustle. And so I love that this book exists, and I recommend that everyone read because it is breaking down with a lot of depth how moving in this way truly is destructive to our entire being, physically and spiritually. So I really hope that you take some time to listen to this again. Share this with someone that you know is sleep deprived, is overworking themselves, over pushing themselves, who you know looks at rest as a waste of time, who you know may want to rest but is fearful of what stopping, what taking a pause might look like and feel like in their lives. I've essentially lived and have been living this book since March of 2022 when I went on my business sabbatical and just set my business down and moved back home. I talk about this in earlier episodes of the podcast, but I have essentially been living this book even before I read it. And then when I read it, I said, wow, this is kind of what I've been initiated into throughout this whole year. And what I will say is that it's actually been really hard to have that deep awareness and to be embodying it truly, you know, and not in some, I'm intentionally going to embody rest, just on some, like, this is what happened in life and this is how it's moving. And it just happens to be in tandem with this book. It's been very hard to have the deep awareness of what prioritizing rest feels like to then do anything of the opposite, right? It's been very, very challenging to have this deep shift in perspective, in paradigm, in mindset, and then to try and go back to an old one. Very, very challenging to even consider that. So, yeah, I just thought I'd share my personal experience, but absolutely, again, share this with someone you love that you know probably needs to hear this. And maybe you sending it to them in the time that you have will be the time that they will be open to receive it. And if you enjoy these episodes and any of the other music episodes, please rate us, give us a star rating on Spotify. If you are listening to this specific episode on Apple Podcasts, unfortunately, you don't have access to the music episodes where I'm sharing music and artists and curated playlists, because that is only available on Spotify. Sadly enough, that is the truth. But please continue to tune in to the podcast, even if you only have access to the Let Me Read to You episodes. I will continue to share these with you. And until we talk or listen together again, please take care of yourself and remember to rest.